T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton go to each other and to whiskey. Why they do it?
We have to fight.
With Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
To be fair, though, Joe, there have been more than a few potential last ever games at the Nassau Coliseum. Would you agree?
There have been dozens.
There were games that we thought were the last game at the Nassau Coliseum, and then somehow weren't. But yes. Tonight could be the latest of those. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Sabre community mourning the death of Rene Robert. Paul Hamilton, who, of course, has been with us for many years and around the Sabres for more, joins us now on the West Her Hotline. Hi, Paul.
How you doing, Mike?
Okay. So when you think about Robert, as we're all doing today, what comes to mind first?
A guy, and I think everybody that talked about him today, and by the way, the Instigators did a great job in honoring Rene Robert with their guests, and it was very enjoyable to listen to, but just the guy who could score the big goal. I mean, Martin and Perreault had the talent, and Rene Robert had talent, too. I don't mean to say that he didn't, but, you know, they had the superstar talent, and Rene Robert would score the big goal. I mean, when you absolutely had to have a goal, Rene Robert was the one that scored it, and we talked about this yesterday. Maybe the most iconic goal in Sabre history was in Game 3 against the Philadelphia Flyers in the Stanley Cup Finals. He scores in the fog game. And I remember him talking about it to one of those Sabre caravans when I was chatting with him, that, you know, he said, you know, he knew Bernie Perron couldn't see the puck. So all the Sabres were doing was trying to shoot on the ice and trying to, you know, get it through him, which is exactly what he did. And he felt that Perron never saw the puck, you know, coming at him. So, you know, that was, you know, something that really was fun to watch.
Like, Paul, I'm glad you mentioned so early in our conversation the Sabres caravans, because one of my first observations today was about how at whatever event that I was fortunate enough to be invited to take part in, or even station events, things where alumni were going to be there, I feel like Rene Robert was always at those events. And this is not to, like, criticize other guys who just maybe had other priorities or just weren't around as often, but I feel like Rene was always present at those things, and proudly so. And I think that really says a lot about what the organization really meant to him, even though, you know, I know he had his battles with the team after he stopped playing. But I think he was always very proud of his association with the Sabres, and it's become very obvious to me over the years that was the case.
He was proud of it, and he was very upset at the Sabres not having success the last X amount of years. It bothered him a lot. And those caravans on the road were very well attended by Sabre fans all over the country, Dallas, Los Angeles, Raleigh, you name it. We probably were in almost every city, and it was just packed with Sabre fans. And Rene Robert, Rob Ray, Danny Gare, they were always at those things. The Sabres would fly them in, and they'd be interacting with fans. And that was one of the fun things about listening to the stories today on the Instigators. I got I was honored to have the opportunity to hear from Renee personally and to hear a lot of those things. And when they would tease him, about the, he was always, and I think Gilbert told this story, he was always upset about, boy, I could have made like $8 million a year if I played now, you know, and then they would tease him back. I think it was either Rob or somebody else or Danny would tease him back saying, well, the third guy in the line wouldn't make $8 million. He would start saying, well, wait a minute. Blah, 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 and they just knew how to light his fire. And it was just hilarious to watch. And I probably saw that three or four times. And every time it was just so funny to watch because it would just get Renee going, and they loved getting him going.
In the cap era, you wouldn't be able to keep all three guys, maybe. So we wouldn't have – I mean, there's so many reasons to think about how it's different than it used to be. One line, so iconic with the name to go with, such a great name, on one team for so many years, Paul. I mean, it's just so far away as a hockey thing.
Yeah, it is. The eras are just so different. I mean, we could sit here and talk for two straight days about how the different things in the two eras. And you're right, probably in the salary cap era, that Sabre team wouldn't have been able to stay together. That Flyer team probably would not have been able to stay together in a salary cap era. So, I mean, because, you think of it. I mean, the Sabres had guys on their third line, and back then they did number lines, that were scoring 31 goals. And they'd be making money too. Rick Dudley was on that line and would score 31. Jim Lorenz would score over 30, on that line. And, you got Luce, Ramsey, and Gare all over 30 goals on your second line, and star penalty killers and winning NHL awards. You're right. In the salary cap era, I would think it would almost been impossible to keep that team together.
Mike asked me earlier, because he was too young to really have seen Renee play, and I'm curious what sort of a job I did describing him, Paul, because I said I think he had maybe some of Rick and some of Gilbert. Like, he was a very good playmaker, but had a very good shot, a big shot, a slap shot from the point on the power play, setting guys up on the power play, and was a great, great skater.
Yeah, he was a good skater. Yeah, you described it perfectly. He could take the best talents of Martin and Perreault and combine them into, being a very good hockey player. And the point on the power play, he explained that he's not trying to score when he's on the point in the power play. And he had a great shot. He explained how he would try to set people up in front, whether it's to get a tip or whether it's just to hit them with the puck, just to get rebounds, because he knew he had players that were going to be around that net and would be there for those rebounds. So he said all he was trying to do is get a hard, low shot through that would get to the net. And if it was screened and went in, fine. But, he was just trying to get it so he could get pucks around there. And then guys like Perreault, Martin, Jimmy Lorenz was on the power play. Danny Gare was sometimes on the power play. They could just clean up in front of the net there.
Not so much a question, I guess, but an observation. You made the point about how teams stayed together. We all know that about sports, even if we're younger than when that was the case. But it's interesting to me how certain of those franchises, including the Sabres, sort of developed a reputation for themselves by who was on those teams and how they played, like their style. I mean, that Sabre team of the 70s was one thing, the Flyers you mentioned, or Boston another. And the Islanders were a certain way, and the Canadiens, and other teams perhaps too. And I think those reputations still linger, even though they are so long ago. Like Boston, you might not even notice if Boston isn't physical, right? Because it became their brand, and their uniforms are the same, and they're the Boston Bruins, so they're probably physical, and I'm just not sort of thinking about it right now when I watch them play. I mean, most teams now play pretty much the same, but on some level, I think they still have their reputations from a long time ago, or they can.
Well, they did, and in that Stanley Cup Finals, you had the Broad Street Bullies. Yeah, they could score. They had some guys that could score, but they're going to beat you in the alley. They want you to be deathly afraid of them, and they felt if you were afraid of them, then their skill could kick in and they could win. Where the Sabres were the high-flying Frenchmen, the French Connection – They want to run and gun. They want to skate. Their goaltending isn't as good. And the reason the Flyers won that series was, one, Roger Crozier couldn't play that much. He played a little bit. He played in that game six that they lost 2-0, and he only let in a goal to Bob Kelly. And so they were getting beat in goal. And when they were in the auditorium, they were fine. The Sabres were able to wheel. It's when they got to Philadelphia, that's when you didn't see Gilles Perreault. Gilles Perreault, he put up all his numbers in that series at home in Buffalo. He was almost invisible in Philadelphia. They used to call it the Philly flu, because those fans would get their Flyers all revved up, and teams just wouldn't play their game in Philadelphia, and that was the difference in the series. It wasn't that Perreault had a totally bad series. He just wasn't good in the Philadelphia games, but the Buffalo games, he was Gilbert Perreault again, and he was able to wheel and do his thing.
With Paul Hamilton here on the Wester Hotline, Renny Robert died yesterday at the age of 72. You know, I like Bulldog's point a lot about how Robert was omnipresent at these events. You know, that does say something about a guy. And you were also saying, I don't want to be critical of other guys who weren't that way, but it really does, if I'm not going too far, it really does speak to somebody's sort of love for the franchise and love for those guys and the memories. And just trying to keep that, pardon the pun, but keep that connection going later in life. And it sounds like Robert was someone who that meant a lot to.
It did. It really, these last 10 years have really made him angry. How poorly the Sabres were doing. He was embarrassed by it, being part of the Sabres organization for so many years. And it really upset him. He wanted to see the Sabres win the Stanley Cup. He wanted to see them do well. It was his team. Now, of course, it wasn't the only team he played on, but he played most of his years in Buffalo, and this was his team, and he took a lot of pride in this city. He took a lot of pride in this team, and he took a lot of pride in his teammates. And Rob Ray pointed out, too, is he's never let the past, meaning the past players, be forgotten. You know, he was the guy that would always make sure everybody in the alumni was included. You know, or if somebody in the alumni was having a tough time, Renny Robert made sure they were taken care of, you know, and no matter what a tough time meant, whether it's money problems, whether it's whatever problems, mental illness or anything that they needed, he was the guy that made sure that it was taken care of. And I think that does speak a lot towards him.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned sort of how the guys would razz him, how Renee would say, if I played now, I'd make $8 million. And I had my share of conversations with him. They were usually brief, but, like, that sort of vibe came across. And I guess over the course of, you know, not just since he had the heart attack a few days ago and now ultimately has passed away, I would say before that. Maybe a few years ago, I sort of figured out that, like, whatever jealousy there may have been there about the money that's available now, I think the point you're making here, Paul, about his wanting to make sure guys were taken care of, like, that's where that sprang from. Like, there's obviously resources here. These teams, the whole league has money, and guys who are struggling and in part struggling with health problems that may have been caused by playing this game and going through what they've gone through, you know, they need some help, and they should get it from the league. There should be more available to them. And I think, rather than just thinking of him as someone who thought, man, I played in the wrong era because I could have been a multimillionaire, I think it feels more to me, as the years have gone by and I reflect on my interactions with him, that it was more like, you should just recognize that there are guys out here, sort of like how Joe DeLaMalier has been about the former players in the NFL. Like, don't turn a blind eye to these guys. They spilled it for this sport and for these teams, and, you know, some of them are in tough shape.
That's why he was so active, both in the National Hockey League Alumni Association and the Buffalo Sabres Alumni Association. I didn't realize he ran the Sabres alumni for a long time. Rob was talking about that. I know Rob has run it for a long time too, but before Rob, Renee did. And Rob talked to Renee a lot, would use him as counsel to, say, all right, we've got this going on, we got that going, what do you think? And he said Rene would always be very honest with him, and that's what he respected the most about him, that he's not going to sugarcoat it. He's going to tell you exactly what he thinks, but he thought, you know, he said it was a huge help to him as he's been trying to maneuver through running the alumni now.
All right, with Paul Hamilton, we talked to Paul yesterday, catching up on some big Sabre topics. I don't know that there are any any developments in this area. We do have the playoffs continuing here. Montreal is one game from the finals. We have this streak I'm sure you guys are aware of, how a Canadian team has not won the Stanley Cup since 1993, when it was the Canadiens over the Kings. They're one game away from beating, I think, a much superior Vegas team and being in the Stanley Cup Finals, where they would not be the underdog they were in this round.
Yeah, we'll never know, but Vegas kind of acts to me like they just thought, well, all right, we beat Colorado, we're in, type of thing. And I think they totally overlooked Montreal. I don't think they took Montreal seriously. I didn't, but I'm not a player. But I didn't take Montreal seriously. Yeah, you know, I thought an easy sweep and on we go. And just watching them, and there's no jump to their game. I don't know if the Colorado series took it out of them, but there's no jump to their game. They don't seem to be on top of things. They seem to be a step behind. They don't seem to have any spirit. They just seem blah. Now, a lot of that, I'm sure, is, first of all, Carey Price in goal. Second of all, the way the Canadians are playing. The Canadians are running them down. You know, they're giving them very little space, and if Vegas wants to score goals and wants space, they're going to have to go out, and they're going to have to play hard, and they're going to have to earn it. And they don't seem to be playing hard as they were against Colorado. And I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know if it's overconfidence. But they just don't at all look like the same team. And, yes, Montreal does have something to do with that. But, you know, I just wonder if they just didn't take them seriously.
They've not given up a power play goal, guys, since in 12 games, the Canadiens. That's the longest streak since 1934.
Absolutely, and they always say, you've always heard coaches say, your best penalty killer is your goaltender. It starts there, but it's not only there. I mean, it's the penalty killers themselves, and quite honestly, I think Montreal has better chances shorthanded than Vegas has had with the power play. I mean, Montreal, they jump. They get it. They have a play, and they'll get a turnover, and off they go. They're looking to score shorthanded.
Yeah, Montreal has been a fast, good skating team for a couple of years now. You know, they did not have a very good regular season. They would not have made the playoffs in any other division. So, you know, there's my backhanded apology for overlooking them. I mean, I didn't think that this was going to work for them. But I think you're right, Paul. I don't know what is happening with Vegas. And you know, one play does not, like, warrant making an overall point about them not being dialed in or lack of effort. But the Mark Stone, I mean, he's their captain. He's Mr. Selke, all-around great player. The lack of effort on, I think it's the Caulfield goal last night, that I mean, the Vegas is shorthanded to begin with. He gives the puck away on a rush at the Montreal blue line. And, I mean, he is just floating behind Caulfield, who gets an easy pass for a wide-open net. And if he is skating at all, he is there to break that play up. But he's just floating behind it with his stick in his waist. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
I noticed that, too. And that's when I talk about desire and just giving up on plays. Yeah. I mean, Montreal doesn't give up on plays. I mean, they you know, there's no question Vegas is the more talented team. No question. But Montreal just doesn't give up on plays. They're tenacious, you know, and they have now gotten confidence, and they're not worried about Vegas's power play because they think their penalty kill is better, and I think they're right. And, you know, each and every and think of the series anyway. Vegas just barely got past to get their second win. This series almost was over. Vegas just barely got win number two. You know, and but then you could say too that Fleury gave away a game. Also, there was only about a minute 50 left. And Vegas is on top, and Fleury makes
it's
that
hockey.
Play. If Fleury makes that play, Vegas probably wins that game.
That is right. I mean, thank you for pointing that out. That's maybe from 3-1, although the other game could have gone differently. But that's the benefit of being a superior team. They're just down here. You know, maybe that was a lazy play. Did you see though the one play with the Diamondbacks where the guy from Milwaukee was coming around third, Vogelbach, and he pulled up lame like he was injured running home, but they didn't throw it? That was worse.
I missed that.
Yeah.
You see that one, Paul?
I watched my Yankees last night, too, just do a bonehead play. You got a guy at first, you're down by a run, and I believe it was the ninth inning, or is the eighth or ninth inning. And there's a play where Torres is up, check swing, the ball gets by the catcher, the ball's in the dirt, gets by the catcher. Of course, the guy at first goes to second, and Torres is standing there arguing or standing there thinking, well, all right, whatever. Run to first base. All you had to do is run to first base, and you're safe. Because if they did, they said, yeah, you swung. So you've now struck out, but the ball's back next to the backstop up the third baseline, and you're still standing at home plate when the catcher grabs the ball. Then you decide to run. And that stuff drives me out of my mind. I cannot stand players that don't hustle. It just drives me crazy to watch that stuff. And I watch it way too much in baseball. And, yeah, it's a similar type of thing. I mean, you're just not thinking. You're paid enough money, you should be able to hustle from home plate to first base.
You guys will like the highlight of the Diamondbacks catcher jumping up and down, stomping on home plate to get the guys to throw him the ball as the runner can barely walk. You'll like that one.
Must not have been a good night. It was not a good night for, I guess, the fundamentals in baseball. There's a play in the Tampa Red Sox game I saw a highlight of. Men on first and second, one out. Ball, hard hit ball to third base, and Devers has a hard time handling it. The runner from second started to go to third, which, of course, he has to do. It's a ground ball. And he stopped. He sees Devers get in front of the ball. He stops and goes back to second, where, of course, he meets the runner coming from first. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you cannot stay put. You have to go to third. Those are the rules.
This stuff doesn't matter anymore. It's just home runs, or why bother?
Right. Right.
I don't think they do fundamentals all that much in spring training anymore, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, no. Maybe not. All right, Paul. Well, sorry for the occasion here, but I appreciate you coming on, as always.
No, I hate the occasion, but I do enjoy talking about Rene because he was a great person.
That's a good way to wrap it up. Thanks again, Paul.
Yep.
Well done, Paul. Paul Hamilton on our West Her Hotline, and his appearances are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Time out for sports. If you want to join us and talk about Rene Robert, watching him as a player, maybe meeting him after his career was over, he was around a lot, feel free. 803-0550 is the number. We'll have some of Danny Gare's thoughts from earlier today on WGR coming up as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Bill Height over on the wing. Peter McNabb got it out to center. Peter McNabb got it again. 3-on-2, over the line. Pass in, right in, and goal, score! Rene Robert! Saw Robert beats Killer Club on the first shot he's forced to face after taking over for Sedelnikov. Not a good one, punch.
Yeah, McNabb gives him a nice pass. He puts it right inside the post. First shot, that's always a tough one for the goaltender to handle.
Rene Robert, Sabres, Soviet Wings in 76. I think that's Bill Hewitt on that broadcast. What do you remember, if anything, about that night?
Oh, boy, just how it was really, really, really emotionally charged. I mean, it was a big deal to be playing, a team of Russian stars. I mean, I think I was aware that it wasn't like the top team. You know, the Soviet, the Central Red Army team was the bigger, maybe more well-known team, the red uniforms and all that. But it still was a huge deal. I mean, here's this Russian team touring North America, and the Sabres just you didn't know they were going to drill them when the game started. So there was a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety. I mean, I was 11 years old for that, and that was a big, big, big deal, man. And to have them just hammer them the way they did was awesome. And, the story goes, they were the first team to beat them. And a few nights later, they played a regular season game in Montreal and got a standing ovation from the crowd in the forum for having done that to the Soviet Wings. So, yeah, that was a hell of a night.
Was it that series when the Canadians played the Red Army in the forum? Like around New Year's, maybe New Year's Eve?
I think so.
3-3? Like A famously great game between the Canadiens and the Red Army, maybe?
I'm not sure if it's the same tour because the Sabres did play another game against a Russian team after that. So I don't, you know, some of that stuff could, you know, I could
different
mix,
years.
You know, one up. Yeah, right. One year with the other. But, yeah, I mean, that was the height of, you know, the Cold War and all of it. It was really, maybe not the height of the Cold War, but whatever. It was still going on. And it was very meaningful that they hammered them the way they did.
I think there maybe are three most prominent of those games. The Sabres 12-6 game, the 3-3, if that's the right score, Montreal game in the Forum, and then the Flyer game where they leave. The Flyers were just too mean to them, so the Soviets left the ice like in the first period or something. Like, they're going home, Bob Cole. They're going home. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
I've seen that one on YouTube. Bobby Clark just like breaks a guy's ankle with a stick, and then there's no penalty, and the Russians are so upset that they just walk off.
Yes, now Clark literally did break Harlamov's ankle, didn't he, in the Summit Series? That's that sound right? Like, that actually happened in the Summit Series, I think. Oh, boy, I got to be careful. But Van Imp is the guy I think of from that game at the Spectrum, Ed Van Imp. But that's before my time. I know that from highlights, too. Just like Joe. Joe and I are approximately
same
age. Yeah, right. What do you think Joe would think of the Summit Series? I love that. My brother-in-law in Toronto, who I'm not allowed to go see anymore, he, you know, because the border, he bought me that series, the 72 Canada versus Soviet Union series on DVDs many years ago. And I'm telling you, I was fixated. Yeah, the goaltending. Not all the time. there were close, right. Low-scoring games in the Summit Series. And it's just, I mean, the tension is the best. You have Esposito's speech after they played in Vancouver, I think, right? Like, when they're, it's four games in Canada, and then they go to play four games in Moscow. And Phil Esposito gets on TV after they lost, and he's like, you guys got to give us a break here, basically. Like, just give us a break. These guys are actually really good. And he has this great speech.
Right.
So there's so much to watch there. Fans, like, the booing. The series starts in the Forum. And I guess, I mean, just from learning about it, there's this arrogance in Team Canada. Like, come on. And the Soviets just blow them out. it's a joke. And I bet it was just like, I bet it got real right there. That first game, right there.
Yeah. So you have that. You got me the 76 Canada Cup on DVD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? I still have that.
Not as good, right. Bulldog, but
right.
Yeah, Gilbert, right? And
Gilbert is in that. Yeah.
Bobby Orr, maybe. Bobby Orr is not in the Summit Series. And I'm already saying I got to be careful, but I'm still just riffing here. There was a story about Gilbert or Rick Martin like leaving the team in the middle of the series, like leaving the team, one or both, because they both were a part of it. But, like, not stalwarts.
Right.
Perreault plays in at least one of those games, though. Maybe Martin does. I don't know if he does. Perreault definitely does.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've looked at them. It's been a while since I've looked at my DVD player. I guess I would admit it's just not something. But so, I know I watched all of it when you first got it for me, but that was many years ago now.
Yeah, the DVD player. So, I got a new TV a few months ago, and that meant a new remote. Whole new thing. I was very happy to get it on the wall. That was a big deal for my wife and for me to get the TV on the wall. We did it successfully.
Yeah.
And the DVD player, that's what it is called. The DVD
Still,
player,
think, yeah.
The remote is missing. So one day I'm like, I was interested in playing a DVD. I sort of looked around for like a minute, like, never mind. And I think that might be it forever.
Yep, right.
I think the DVD player there's probably a disc in it, and I think it will sit there forever because, you know, what do you want to watch? It's $5. Do I want to frustratedly look for the remote control, and then maybe I still have to do something else to get it to work? Or do I want to just give you $5 and watch Fletch?
Right. You could get a new remote that's a universal remote or whatever and try to figure that out. I mean, maybe
right.
You could do that. You know, I mean, that still can work, I think.
But, I could do that.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe mentioned real quick here, and if you want to talk about Rene Robert, we're here for your calls at 803-0550. Thanks to those of you who've done that already with us earlier. Joe mentioned the Suns with Chris Paul coming back. You see what they're calling last night's play? It's a great nickname for a play. DeAndre Ayton played to beat the Clippers last night.
Right. I just saw that it was an alley-oop, so I've not seen what they're referring to it as.
It's the Valley-oop.
The Valley-oop, okay.
Right? That's good, right?
It's pretty good.
In the Valley?
I'll allow it. Yeah, I think
I'll
that
allow
works.
It.
Right.
Love
Valley
it.
Of the Sun. Yeah, right, sure.
The Valley-oop, Joe.
Did you watch the end of that game last night?
Of
it was
course
late.
Not.
Anybody? No?
No, of course.
Bulldog?
No, I was up late watching
Bulldog
hockey.
Bulldog wouldn't have stuck with it. It was.
I did not stay there, no.
Oh, I mean how long the end of the game
took?
Yeah,
it was like the longest review end of, like even for basketball is notorious for the end of the games get long. But it was over 30 minutes for the final, what, 14 seconds?
Just timeouts and fouls or also reviews?
Reviews. There were
oh my God,
at least
reviews.
There were reviews on, I think, 5 straight plays.
So, you know, I went to Kansas City and St. Louis.
Including
two
the Valley
ago.
Oop, by the way.
The Valley Oop was reviewed?
Yeah.
And some people thought it shouldn't have counted, right?
The Alley Oop?
Yeah.
No, that they all thought should have counted. There was an inbounds play that people were very upset about.
Okay.
That was like razor thin. Like it was super close, but it was clearly out on the Suns and yeah.
Bulldog, you would have been proud of me. You would have jumped in on this had you been there. The game I went to at Kauffman Stadium, so like 2 Saturdays ago, Royals Twins. It's the 9th inning. The Twins are leading by a run. The Royals are up, bottom of the 9th. And first guy reaches. There's a play, there's this great play. So, guy on second maybe, Dyson is the pinch runner, he's on second. There's a ball hit to the shortstop, Simmons, who throws out the runner at first. Dyson breaks for third, and they throw him out at third. And Simmons is involved in that too. Like, he makes this amazing play, and it's a double play. They go from tying run on second, no outs, to 2 outs, nobody on. And I'm like, wow, now I'm in a Royals crowd and I don't care. So I'm just like, wow, that's amazing. I'm kind of loud. And then you see that they're going to review the play. I'm there with my 3 friends. They're rooting for the Royals. People around me are all Royals. And I'm just like, and a lot, you know, I'm pretty much, you can hear me, you know?
Uh-huh, right.
I go, like, this is so stupid. Can we just, guys, right. I'm like this talking to my friends in the crowd. Guys, you're the Royals and the Twins. Will you just get over yourselves and finish the game? So we're all standing there. It's taking forever. They review this play. And they change the call at third. So I had one guy who was sort of like, you see? Like, he wasn't mean or anything. He was just like, you see why it's important? This is get it right guy. Thank goodness replay is there to rescue us. Because otherwise, you'd have 2 outs in the 9th inning of this one-run game. Now, it's 1 out and a guy at third. Big difference. Like,
sure.
I'm like, oh, yeah, this is huge. This could change the whole outcome of the baseball season.
Right.
So the next batter, maybe on the first pitch, the next batter lines to short and the runner breaks. And Simmons just casually tosses the ball over to third. And I couldn't resist. I'm like, thank God they reviewed that other play.
Right, right.
You know, one of these teams is always going to win. You don't have to be so concerned with every speck of every replay. You can just kind of go with it. Yesterday, I'm watching the Reds and the Twins, and they replayed a out call at first in the 4th inning of a 1-0 game, and they changed that call. And I just did the same dance in here alone. I'm like, great. That was really important. Watch now what happens to the Twins season now that they got that safe call at first.
Oh.
It's all so just my blood boils.
It's just the worst. Yes, it is just the worst.
I'd rather there be no cameras at these games and they not be televised than to have to sit there and watch them look at replays and wait.
100%. Or that they just had like one camera behind home plate. So you're getting the game, and it's like a
fine.
You know, whatever. It's like a live barn feed of your kid's game or something.
Right.
It's like,
exactly.
Okay, well, this is what I'm watching. I'm watching my team at least, fine. But there's no access to slow-mo replays and all the it's just so gross. I mean, they still play 162 of these things in baseball, right?
They do.
I mean, oh my gosh.
I don't blame the teams. The teams have. I mean, you might as well use your challenge. But what an absolute needless waste of time.
Yep.
Baseball is already kind of that, so you don't need to add to it. Just
I hope when I go see the Red Sox and Jays in a few weeks that that there's none of that nonsense. Although I mean,
it just matters so little when the call is wrong. Like, so what? All right,
right.
He was out. You're right. Let's play. Let's keep going. Oh, but the one time the division would have been just you know what?
Get it right.
Win the next game. Just hate it. Hate it so much. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this on WGR.
You know, I always kidded Rennie that, you know, he came with a chip on his shoulder. And I figure that's the one thing they left on the statue in front of the rink there was the chip on his shoulder. And I'd always tease him about that because he always seemed to have a little bit of an attitude. The attitude was that trying to prove that he was a good player. And I think that some of that, I guess, just being with him and talking to him, we made a joke of it, but I think it helped change his attitude a little bit. And I don't know, I just can't say enough about Rennie. He's just such a good person and he's such a good friend to me.
Don Luce, among many fan favorite Sabres who's been on the station today talking about their friend and former teammate Rennie Robert from the Instigators earlier today. We would love to have fans who remember watching Robert play or even maybe interacted with him off the ice in later years. Join us at 803-0550. We'll hear from Danny Gare as well as, again, from Gilbert Perreault as we continue sections of their conversations on the station earlier today, Mike Robitaille as well. All of it available at the Odyssey app. We'll get back into talking about Robert's career and life after sports. New mayor, by the way, Bulldog.
Looks that way, right?
Looks that way.
Yeah, new mayor.
Congratulations to India Walton, the presumptive new mayor of Buffalo after last night's election. See that Mayor Brown is scheduled to throw out the first pitch at the Bison's game, or the Blue Jays game, rather, tomorrow?
I did hear something about that. Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah. Is he? Yeah,
no,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think
you
so.
You think yes?
No.
I'll say
yeah,
no.
Yeah, he's still the mayor. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you're right.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I mean, and so, yeah, I saw something about, like, maybe a write-in attempt or something by him. Like, yep. I don't know. I don't know if it's over, but it seems pretty over. You know, that she is going to be the next mayor of Buffalo. And I mean, just awesome. I am very good friends with someone who was working for her campaign, and he was over here on before I went to Minnesota. So in between South Dakota and Minnesota, this friend of mine, Seamus Gallivan's his name. I think you've met him too. He stopped by and we were chatting, and you know, I know in my head as we were talking, I was thinking, man, good luck. I feel like it's really hard to unseat this mayor, I think. And I mean, congratulations to them. I mean, they did the work and people, you know, enough people turned out. I mean, there were not very large numbers at all of people who actually voted in this thing. So it's a little weird that the next mayor was decided by such a small number of people, but that's how it works. So here we are.
You say yes, I say no. Well, I'm not sure, but I'll say no. I don't know.
Okay. Maybe they should have her come through the first pitch out. I mean, she's not the mayor yet, but whatever.
I'm not sure she's been invited, so. Bulldog.
Yeah, right. Right.
That's what you're saying, though. Maybe she should be invited to throw out the first
pitch. Maybe she should be invited, yes.
Maybe, for a future game.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic and excited about that. I mean, I just think change in that way and a lot of what she is, you know, running on and standing for is sorely needed. And so I applaud her and the efforts of my friend and all these other people that worked on her campaign. And it has proved to be fruitful. So good for them and hopefully good for those of us who live in the city and who work in the city and just enjoy the city.
Hear, hear. Do you consider yourself as someone who works in the city now because you do the show from the city and not come to Amherst? Are you including yourself in that?
I don't know.
The rest of it, sure. You run in the park, you've lived there forever, but
Right. Yeah.
Just wondered.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I guess not. I don't know. I still feel like work is there. I work in Amherst, although I'm working here.
My wife then works in the city by the same logic, even though she hardly ever goes there.
Right.
She's usually working from our, you know, from our house. Okay, time out here. We'll have the update with Joe next and maybe hear from some Sabres fans on the passing of Rene Robert, one of the few players to have his number retired by the Sabres. 803-0550 is the number here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.